I want you to be finding in your Bibles Isaiah, the 40th chapter, the 31st verse. Because God is going to talk to us about a principle in His Word called the like as. And it's the like as principle. And friends, the like as principle is when Scripture compares spiritual things to natural things. And a good example of that is found in the very first Psalm, Psalm 1 and 3. And this is what the Bible says in Psalm 1, 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And the psalmist compares our life to a tree. Well, if you found Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and though you may think you're getting older, yet you can be getting stronger if we listen to what this verse says to us tonight. If you arise as we honor God with the reading of His holy word for us, and this is what God says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that a great verse? I'll tell you, I love that verse because Randy was praying about Jesus coming again, and when he was praying about Jesus coming again, and Jesus is coming again, you can count on it. You know where we're going. We're going up where the eagles fly. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word tonight. Lord, as you take this principle called the like as principle, Lord, help us to grow in our faith. Help us to realize just how important the Word of God is. Lord, your Word is the absolute truth. There is no other truth. And on your Word, I make my stand. And I pray that everyone else would say the same thing. Oh, God, thank you for your Word. It gives us hope. It gives us strength. Lord, it teaches us how we ought to live. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be in the Word of God each and every day. And Lord, that we would not only take your Word in, that we would breathe it in, but Father, that we would live it out by our actions and our acts and our words in this world in which we live. Lord, we are the light of the world. Help us to behave like it. Help us to love like it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Now, God compares waiting upon the Lord to mounting up with wings like eagles. Well, I got to thinking about this, and I thought, well, how are we going to explain this verse? And so I got to thinking about eagles. After all, he's talking about eagles. And so eagles have sharp eyes. They have double vision, meaning they can see things from more than one perspective at a time. And they can see up close, and they can see from great distances at one and the same time. And they can also see downward while they're looking forward. And there are two sets of eyelids in eagles that also provide amazing peripheral vision. And so as eagles fly high or even fly fast, they can spot potential prey in on the ground or in the water from miles up in the air. As eagles age, though, they go through a process, a molting, or a renewal process, and it's really quite amazing. And this process lasts for weeks. And their feathers begin to wane. And their feathers lose their strength. And they don't just lose one feather. They lose all their feathers. And they become naked. And they become ugly. And their vision also dims. Maybe some of us can relate to that. Their claws or their talons wear out and become blunt. Calcium deposits form on their beaks, and their once powerful beaks can no longer tear apart prey. They can no longer devour and digest food. Some eagles even die at this stage. However, if they're in good company, and if they're with other eagles, some of those eagles will take and bring them food, and they'll care for them. Sounds a lot like what the church ought to be. Amen? And then science has confirmed that when eagles reach this stage where they become powerless, they will choose a mountaintop. And they'll go up on that mountaintop, and they'll position itself so that they can see the sun. And it'll raise its wings, and it'll just stand and stare at the sun for weeks on end. As that eagle stands there, staring at that sun, do you know what begins to happen? New feathers begin to grow. New talons emerge. New beaks develop. For the eagles that endure this process, their beauty and youth are restored. The eagle is totally transformed, renewed, and changed. How many of you know what the writer of the Hebrews wrote to the church, to you as a child of God? Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus, you know, he said, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And friend, if you want to renew your strength, you've got to put your eyes, spread your wings, and look and stare into the Word of God. Or you just turn around and you get to do what I get to do quite often. Just come in here and sit and stare at the cross. Because the cross says the Son is alive. The Son is coming again. Hallelujah, amen. Jesus lives. And because he lives, we're going to live. It don't get any better than that. Listen. Psalm 103:5. The psalmist teaches of God in reference to us, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. To remain renewed, if you will, a life-filled eagle. Every single eagle must endure this process until the day it dies. And the like-as principle is profound. The Bible tells us here that they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, you all know I've told you before, we're just turkeys baking in an oven, but one day we're going to get out and we're going to soar like an eagle. But really, what's going on down here? We're going through a molting process at times. We're going through a renewal process at times because we need it. If we were perfect, we wouldn't need it. Sometimes we can get too big for our britches, and we need to drop down a peg or two. Sometimes we're already down, and we need to be lifted up a little bit. Sometimes we need to learn what it means to wait upon the God, to wait upon the Lord, if you will. But like eagles, listen to what God is saying to us. Every believer can have their spiritual eyes, their spiritual ears, and their spiritual senses open so that we can see what God is saying to us in the present and what God has prepared for us in the future. We can read the sign, if you will. Every believer can have their feathers renewed. Every believer can have their strength renewed. Every believer can have the ability to eat restored simply by waiting on the Lord. And I'm talking about spiritual food. You know, some people don't know how to eat spiritual food. They've lost their ability to taste it. They've lost their ability to take it in, to digest it. And what they need to do is to stare at the sun so they can be renewed. You know, let's talk for a little bit tonight about the lost art of waiting. How many of you would agree that in this world today, we do not know what it means to wait. I mean, we want it. We want it right now. And I mean now. Well, what does it mean to wait on God? Waiting on God is a life of oneness. Think about this. It's a life of oneness in union with your Creator. God loves you. Do you know that tonight? God only has the best in store for you. He knows what you need. Now, isn't it true sometimes we think we know what we need, but the reality is we really don't know what we need. We only think we know what we need, and a lot of our needs are nothing more than wants. But God knows perfectly what we need. And so waiting on God is a life of oneness with our Creator. Waiting is a life of coming before Him, knowing Him, talking with Him, and walking with Him, just like the Bible teaches the Old Testament saints did. The Bible talks about Moses, for example. He walked and talked with God as friend with friend. Today, too often, we wear our Christianity, if you will, as an accessory. We put them on for church, we take them off, and then we put them back on, and we take them off and go throughout our week, and we really don't incorporate into our daily lives this walking, talking, knowing God. You know, I've talked to you before about, the name slips me. I know I'm getting old. He's in Genesis 5, I can tell you that. He walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch, thank you. Thank you. You're going to have to help your pastor out from now on every now and again. But Enoch, he walked with God and one day God took him. And I've shared this with you before. You know, I like to walk. You all know that. And Enoch walked with God. And I just picture this when I read that verse in the Bible, that one day they got closer to God's house than Enoch's house. And God said, Enoch, why don't you just come on home? But do you know what Enoch did every day? He had a knowing relationship with God. He had a walking relationship with God. He had a living relationship with God. He was living in union with his Creator. Waiting on God is the key to an intimate relationship with God. This is why you've heard me ask you several times in the last week, how's your prayer life? You know, a lot of people pray this way. I'm thankful that they're praying. But friend, if all you do is pray and you never take time to listen to God, all you've done is pray with yourself. You've not spent any time listening to God. Now, you know as well as I do that a lot of people, they have their list, and nothing wrong with having a list. And they'll go down through their list, and praise God they got that list. But then when they get to the end of their list, they say, amen, that's it, I'm done, and they're gone. Well, can I ask you, when did God get an opportunity to talk? And beyond that, if you do not read the Word of God every day, you are doing yourself a disservice. You will never know God like you should know God. And Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone. And there you are out in the world eating all that junk, filling yourself up with an illegitimate substitute, when what you really need is the Word of God to give you the hope, strength, and nourishment for your day. And so God is simply saying to us here, waiting on God is the key to an intimate relationship with God, to sonship, and to closeness with God. You know, in 27 years of pastoring, I've had a lot of wonderful Christian people come and say, you know, I just don't feel close to God. Or it don't seem like God answers my prayers. Or, you know, God used to feel so near, and now He just doesn't. Well, back when you could sit next to your spouse or your girl before they put that dumb console between the seats, this old guy and his wife used to go for a drive. And she said, honey, we just don't seem to be as close as we used to. And he looked over at her, and he said, well, I've not ever moved. I'm still right here behind the wheel. God ain't moved. He's still right behind the wheel. We have moved away from God, and that's why he doesn't feel so close to us. How many of you understand that waiting develops all of the inner disciplines of our lives, all the fruit of the Spirit, and it is the doorway to encountering and to experiencing God? And God is teaching us here in this one verse that the discipline of waiting is so important to developing hearing. How well do you hear the Word of God? It's important to receiving revelation, illumination. You know, some people come to church and they never understand what the preacher's preaching, no matter what he's preaching about. Because they never take time to spend any time with God, so it sounds like a foreign language when you read to them from the Bible. Many people don't even know where to turn in the Bible. You know, they're thumbing through the index thinking, well, sooner or later I'm going to get there. Friend, we ought to know the Bible like we know the back of our hand. We ought to know the books. We ought to know where to go. We need to know the Word of God. It is so important to know the Word of God. And God is teaching us here, we've got to develop our hearing. We need to develop our spirit, receive, get in a position where we can receive illumination and receive revelation from God. And waiting on the Lord is found nearly 100 times in the Old Testament and 21 times in the New Testament. Let me ask you something tonight. Can you think of anything else in the Bible that is mentioned with such frequency yet has been ignored by the church as much as waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord. What about your own life? Do you know many churches run around in the energy of the flesh just doing what sounds good because they don't wait on the Lord? And many people that you know are running around in the energy of their flesh. They're fine Christian people, but they do not know what it means to wait on the Lord. And they think, I got to help him out. And you know what happened with Sarah when she tried to help him out. Phew, he's still paying for that over in the Middle East. Phew. And Eve tried to help God out. You know anybody that's ever tried to help out God has got themselves in a whole heap of trouble if they'd have just waited? And you remember King Saul. Samuel told him the Word of God. He said, you go, you wait, I will be there, I will offer the sacrifice. The pressure of life was mounting, if you will. The soldiers were coming, and his soldiers were leaving. And Samuel said, I need to hear from God. Where's God? Where's God? He needed to learn to wait on God. He couldn't wait on God. So he took it upon himself to offer the sacrifice. And Samuel came and told Saul, you're done. That was a stiff penalty to pay, wasn't it? Because Saul could never learn to wait on God when he really needed to hear from God at the end of his life. He had to go talk to a witch. You see, if you don't develop the ability to hear from God, it's not going to be long before you're listening to the devil. And that's what the Bible is telling us. And so we need to learn what it means to wait on the Lord. And it's just something that we just ignore in our 30-second microwave society. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, waiting on the Lord has four general meanings in the Hebrew. The first is Rapha, and Rapha means to be, to stand, or to keep our thoughts and heart activities still. You know something? Many people just don't know what it means just to be. they always think they got to do, don't they? And many churches don't realize what it means just to be, because they always think they got to do. Friends, if we can't learn to just to be, how are we ever going to hear from God? And the Bible teaches something about this. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Could it be that one of the reasons our nation is in the shape that it is in is simply because we haven't learned what it means to be still and wait upon the Lord? Many of you may be facing issues in your own lives, issues I may or may not be aware of. And the reality is, you just need to be still. Stop running around seeking everybody's opinion. Just be still and wait on God. And then the second meaning for waiting on the Lord is dumaia. And dumaia means wait in silence. To remain quiet. To quiet your mind and your soul. Can I ask you, how well do you do when it comes to quieting your mind? Can you turn it off? Can you be silent? Not if you're constantly looking at this stupid thing. If you've got this thing anywhere near you, you will never be silent. You know, this dumb thing is like Pavlov's dog, isn't it? Every time it dings, every time it makes a sound, do you know what people do? They immediately grab for it. There it is. We're live now, by the way. We don't know what it means to be silent. To just be, to be silent. To quiet everything in our minds that we might hear. And the mind has to be hushed. We have to be bowed in silence. And the Bible teaches regarding dumaia, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Not the next text, not the next Facebook post, not the next word from somebody else. My expectation is from him. The third meaning for waiting on the Lord is kava. And kava means to be gathered together in oneness. To gather our faults, our feelings, our emotions, to remain focused upon God without a single stray thought. What are we talking about here? Spiritual discipline. We're to discipline our mind. We're to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Our thoughts and our emotions got to have to be gathered into oneness. And any inner conflict, any noise, any brain chatter must be commanded to stop. How many of you say, whew, that's a full day's work right there? And it is. It is. And the Bible teaches regarding kava, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And then the fourth meaning for waiting on the Lord is chaka. And chaka means to wait earnestly with living anticipation as a bride waiting for her bridegroom. Let me ask you a question. When you come to church, and you be honest because God already knows, I'm just warning you. But when you come to church, do you come with an eager anticipation of what God is going to do in your church today? Or do you just come thinking, well, I'm at church and it's going to be the same old thing? If you never expect nothing, you're never going to get nothing. Do you come with an eager anticipation? What is God going to do today? You know, we have an example of this in the life of one of the families that I dearly love. They were told that the insurance company had an okay to test, so they were to go to the hospital anyway. They wanted to see a doctor. When they got down there, do you know what? God moved the mountains. He said, I don't care what any insurance company said. You're going to have the test anyway. You're going to have it today. That's eager anticipation. I'm going, and God is going to do something wonderful. You know, I wake up every morning thinking, God, what are you going to do today? Is that how you wake up? Our God is an awesome God. Oh, is He an awesome God. Sing hallelujah to the Lord. He can do great wonders. He's an awesome God. And the Bible teaches regarding Chaka, Psalm 33 and 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Isn't it great to know when you walk out that door, the Holy Spirit lives in you? The angels of God are around you, and God is your shield. He is also the lifter of your head. Now, friend, is it as true for you as it is for their pastor that after we pray, we must subdue our restlessness and our resistance to do? See, I'm no different than y'all. Well, let me be real, Southern, all y'all. But I'm no different than all y'all. It's a battle. We always think we better get on with the day. We always think we got to go and do something. We always think we got to be active. And it's a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers of the air, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we need to wait on God that we can be prepared to face what He knows is coming in our day. Amen? We got to learn to master this art of bringing all that is within us into submission to God. Why? Because God doesn't scream. He speaks in a still, small voice. You will not hear from God if you've got the television going. You will not hear from God if the first thing you do is look at Facebook, got to read, hear the news, got to have a radio going, got to have some white noise out there somewhere, something going. You will not hear from God if the first thing you do every morning is pick up that stupid cell phone and check it.
Who texted me in the night? Oh.
No. To come into oneness with God means God is first before anything else. Is that how you're living? To hear God, we have to silence ourselves and all the other noises around us. And this we must do if we are going to be found communing with the Lord. Do you know that communing with God is the most important thing we can do in life? Now think about that for a minute. I love my wife dearly, but she is not the most important person in my life. She's second. God is first. Our human tendency is to make everything a transactional thing. But that's not what waiting on the Lord is all about. Waiting on God is not a duty. It's not an obligation. It's a relationship. I have a relationship with God. Do you have a relationship with God? Are you walking with God? Are you talking with God? Are you praying with God? Are you listening to God? Listen, this Christian life is a relationship. It's a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He loves you unconditionally. And so when you mess up, you fess up. It's just that easy. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you see, we get into a lot of trouble by trying to do something for God before we hear from God, don't we? Again, we have such a tendency to do rather than to be. We need to be a Christian in order that we can do the things that a Christian would do. The quieter we are, the more God's going to speak to us, the more God's going to work through us. Now listen, I've shared this with you a couple times in the last week or so, and so just bear with me. Moses was on the mountaintop. God told Moses, prepare the people, tell them not to come near the mountain, but you, boy, you get up to the top of the mountain, we're going to have a talk. And there Moses was for 6 days waiting for God to speak. Now, let's be honest. Some of us can't wait 30 seconds. 6 days. 86,400 seconds times six. Moses was on the mountaintop for 6 days waiting in silence. And then the Bible says, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now just try to be in Moses' sandals for a moment tonight. How many of you like to be in control? Just get them hands on up there. Well, Lord, a few raised their hands. We got some truthful people and some didn't. We got some liars in the church tonight. Isn't it true? 6 days. On the seventh day, He spoke. Could you be still that long? Now think about Jesus and His three disciples, the inner circle. Sit you here and pray while I go a little ways. And He come back and He found them what? Sleeping. They couldn't wait 1 hour. I often wonder that in church too. But they couldn't wait 1 hour. Okay? You see, John chapter 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If ye abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now, this word abide is so important. In the Greek, it is meno, which means to dwell, to continue, to stay, and remain with God, in the presence of God, until God speaks. You just sit there and remain. Any thought of fruitfulness in our life comes from this practice. This is why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Listen, I don't know how to pastor this church. Never have. I didn't know how to pastor the four churches before this one. But Jesus does. And as long as I listen to Jesus, as long as I follow Jesus, we're going to be all right. I'll know what to do as a pastor. But the moment I try to step out and do it on my own, we are all in trouble. If I try to go out in my own marriage life, if I try to go out and do something on my own without hearing from God, we in trouble. My wife can tell you about the trouble we've gotten into because went out on his own without hearing from you know who. And God had to teach me how to wait.
And friend, waiting allows us to subdue and to take our thoughts captive until our thoughts become His thoughts. How many of you know what the Bible says about God and His thoughts? God had Isaiah put it this way: "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." Well, if that's true, then what He's just simply saying is, you don't know what to do. You better make my thoughts your thoughts so that you can do what I would do. And so the psalmist taught regarding this: "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." You know, I think sometimes we just have so much expectation of people, and we're always let down. No man can meet everyone's expectations, can they? No woman can meet everyone's expectations. And we need to meet His expectations. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, so make your thoughts my thoughts." How? By waiting upon the Lord. How many of you have ever had a day like this? You got up and you were charged up, and by about noon you was run down. I mean, you've wrestled with everything all day long, and by the end of the day, you're so tuckered out, you're just like, what were you doing? Well, more than likely, you got up, had a quick breakfast, because after all, you had to get doing things. You forgot all about spending time with God. You forgot about praying. You maybe said a quick one, but you just basically ran out to do. Now you're plumb wore out. And without a doubt, you probably said, "I'll get to that Bible reading tonight. I know I need to do it." Now nighttime's coming. You're so tired. Now you're feeling guilty because you didn't spend any time with God. Isn't that true? I mean, I've had days like that. And you have to learn this stuff. Sometimes you got to learn it the hard way. But many of us here tonight claim to love God, and that's a good thing. But what does loving the Lord really mean? You know, 27 years of ministry, I've met a lot of people say, "Oh, I love the Lord. I love the Lord." Well, so do I. But what does it really mean? That's what I got to thinking about. I've heard it so much all these years. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Well, what does it really mean? It means the willingness to wait on Him. Waiting is based on love. Waiting for Him and loving Him is the same. Paul quoted in 1 Corinthians 2:9 a quote from Isaiah 64, verse 4, "For the one who waits for Him," and Paul wrote, "for those who love Him." New Testament love is equated with Old Testament waiting. Waiting for Him and loving Him is the same. Waiting is based on love. How many of you had to wait till you got married? And how many of you couldn't wait till you got married? But we had to set a day, didn't we? It was a special day called a wedding day. And we did a lot of preparation for that wedding day because we wanted it to be special. We wanted it to be right. Why did we do it? It was based on love. Well, if our love here on earth is based on all this preparation, what about our love for God? Waiting and loving are like a double-edged sword. And friend, we're not fully sharp if we have one without the other. The Lord receives our love for Him in the form of waiting upon Him. Waiting on the Lord is God's love language. And we do this in fulfillment of the great commandment: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Things perceived that the eye and the ear cannot perceive are received by those who love and wait for the Lord. Now, remember what Jesus taught in John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. When we gather all of our thoughts, when we gather up our emotions, and we gather them all into one place and focus on God without allowing our minds to wander, then we will fully understand what it means to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. How many of you would love to fly just a little bit higher in your Christian life right now? That's what waiting on the Lord is all about. Father, may this word tonight help us come to know what it truly means to wait upon God. What it truly means to love the Lord. Lord, I believe there's room for growth in every one of our lives. We all, as human beings, fight the same battle of stilling our minds, quieting our hearts, taking our thoughts captive, our emotions, and even our own will, and bringing it into submission to you. Lord, we're going to sing a song here in a moment called I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender. And Lord, it's not just a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. Tomorrow morning when we get out of bed, we're going to be greeted by this old body of flesh with all of its wants, all of its desires. And Lord, we're going to be greeted by a world system that is anti-Christian in every way, always tempting us to take the easy path, the broad way that leads to destruction. And Lord, then there's old Satan himself, that old serpent. He's going to hiss at us. He's going to throw his arrows, flaming arrows, his darts at us. And Lord, we've got a battle before our feet hit the floor. Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would come to the understanding and the realization that we need to put you first in all that we do. We need to take all of these things and lay them before you that we might hear you tell us and share with us the things that we are going to face, so that when they come, we will have your word and your way to deal with it. Lord, help us to be just to be Christians and not try to do a Christian. Because Lord, when we try to do a Christian, we mess up so much. Help us to be Christians by learning what it means to wait on you and to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And then Lord, as Marty preaches to us, then we will know it is going to be all right. It's always all right with Jesus. Lord, help us to surrender all to you. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen.